Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. And once again, we're focused on the two Florida cases, Kaylee Anthony and Haley Cummings. Joining me in the studio is my lovely wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, everyone.
And from the wilds of Oregon, Ms. Pickles. Hi, Pickles.
Hey.
I'm not quite sure what's happened to Denny Griffin, but I'm sure he'll be with us directly. But it is my very great pleasure to introduce our special guest, a frequent panelist on Nancy Grace and Jane Velez Mitchell. We have TJ Hart. Hi, TJ.
And greetings and salutations, everyone.
TJ, I know I'll get dozens of emails if I don't ask you this. As I understand it, you're with Sky 97.3 News Talk out of Gainesville, Florida. What is the web address for you folks? Where can people find you? And where can people send their complaints?
To thesky973.com. And for me directly, it's TJ Hart at entercom.com. That's with an E, entercom.
Great. Our switchboard is open, and we're looking forward to taking your questions and comments. Our switchboard number is area code 646-378-1120. So, on with the show. There has not been a great deal happening in the Kaylee Anthony case this week. Suspected murderess, Mother Casey, sits in jail eating her Twinkies and whatever else she can get from the commissary. Jen, let's start with you. What happened this week?
Really, it's been kind of a slow week in this case, but the only thing I can say is that she did have her, Casey did have her 23rd birthday this past week, and from the way I understand it, she spent it alone with the exception of two of her attorneys, and she did receive a $100 money order deposited into her account from her father for her birthday. But no visits from the family.
Not even Josie?
No, he didn't even make it. Two of the other attorneys, Jose Garcia and Gabriel Adam, showed up and spent some time with her. But Baez didn't show up at all. And let's see, those two things was really basically the main thing, except the land that's up for sale where little Kaylee's remains were found has a potential buyer. I mean, well, at least he's wanting to, an interested buyer, which is Leonard Padilla. He's interested in buying the land. And I heard reports, not really confirmed yet, but that he did. They were asking $90,000 for the land, and he offered them like $40,000, I believe, wanting them to sell it to him for. But there's no deals made yet for sure, as far as I know anyway. But that's really about it for this week that I know of anyway.
Pickles, you got any other updates?
They released a few more documents, some interviews with her great-grandma over there at the retirement home. She stole the check to pay for Kaylee's Mexican-themed birthday. And I really didn't read a lot of the documents. I really haven't had any time to even go over anything that has to do with Kaylee, but I know they released some information, some more documents. And there was, I went to Orlando Sentinel because somebody said that's where they were released at, and I tried. They had a link for some photo bucket pictures, and you know me, I'm always down to see some pictures of Casey Anthony. And the link was no good, and now the link is gone, so, you know, it's kind of got me thinking, what were those about?
It does kind of make you wonder, huh? How come
yeah,
they take them down so quick unless there was an error with it or something.
Yeah. But just the documents and her birthday, I didn't even recognize her birthday as a day. I just pretended it like it was the next day. I just didn't even want to know. She did get sausage for her dinner, though. We're all hoping she gets some little teeny-weeny sausages.
I'm guessing here, I think Denny Griffin has just joined us.
Hi, Simon.
Hi,
about
Denny.
Time.
Hi, Danny.
I've actually been lost in space here somewhere. I called in about 3 minutes of, and I thought I was hooked up, and apparently I wasn't, so I just got back on.
Sure.
Denny, just to let everyone know, Denny Griffin is a crime writer, broadcaster, and author out of Sin City, Nevada, otherwise known as Las Vegas. Denny, joining us today on the panel is obviously Jan, myself, Pickles, and we have TJ Hart from Sky News Radio out of Gainesville, Florida. So now you know who you're talking to. Let's move on to the Hayley Cummings case. This is one that is increasingly turning acrimonious. Where to start? TJ, you're the man on the ground. Everyone's, or almost everyone, is getting lawyered up.
Almost, I would say. Ron Cummings has gotten himself a lawyer, and that's primarily because, and I don't think he would have, had it not been for his former love interest, Crystal Shepherd, also Sheffield, rather, the mother of his two children, including missing Hayley and young Ron Jr., Kim Picazio, a very, very well-respected attorney in family law, has decided to represent Miss Sheffield's interests pro bono. And with that in mind, allegations of abuse have been bandied about, and an investigation is on with the DCF, that is Department of Children and Families, Florida, as well as the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. Ron, in response, was offered pro bono legal advice from a lawyer firm in Palatka, Florida, which is about 19 miles north of Satsuma, where Ronald and his family live. It is the law office of Kimball and Snyder. Now, they're representing him when it comes to his ongoing cooperation with the investigative departments, the police, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FBI, and so forth. Also, the media matters, because it's just a bit more complicated than a young man from a small county in Florida can really keep up with these days. He has also retained that law firm pro bono, again, to deal with matters dealing with Crystal Sheffield and the allegations of abuse. And fourth, and primarily the most interesting in this, is that this law firm has decided to represent Ronald, but not his wife, Misty Cummings, because they have different legal perspectives. Their positions are completely different, and they've decided to go ahead to defend Ronald, but not his wife, Misty.
I found that statement very interesting when I read it. What would you read into it? What's your take?
They're perceiving Ron as a man who lost his daughter, and they are looking at Misty Crosland Cummings as the way perhaps law enforcement is viewing her, too, as a woman who is probably at the crux of this matter one way or another. Her story has been inconsistent from the beginning. It has not been shorn up too much since the beginning. She has been somewhat cooperative until they brought in another investigator into the case, and she won't even speak to him. And now it is not in their best interest to represent her, but only to represent Ronald. And she says, quote, "Lawyers are for guilty people." Well, she's the only one in this whole mess now who has not an attorney.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna go to the phone lines, which are lighting up like a Christmas tree. Someone coming in from the area code of 613. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Yeah.
I don't think 613 is a happening deal, so let's move on, and instead we're going to go to someone calling in from area code 503. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. It's Karen O.
Hello.
I'm just calling in to say hi to Denny.
Hello.
Hi. And your chat room is not on.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, we don't do chat rooms.
Oh, no. I never get to hear you live.
Radio.
I know. I never get to hear you live, so I didn't know that you didn't do a chat room. So I was just wondering where it was. Oh, that's
no,
too bad.
Not our scene.
503 is Oregon.
Yes.
Right?
Yes?
Yes. Ha ha. I love it.
That would be me. I'm out in Beaverton area.
Oh, you're right next door to me. I'm in Forest Grove.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
With only Hills Burrito between us.
Oh.
I'm in Aloha. Great. Okay,
caller,
well, I'll let you go.
Okay. All right. We have someone coming in from 613. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, is Beast from Canada here? Am I making it through this time?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Hi, Beast.
Hey, morning, everybody. Our theory is, we're tossing around here, we got two of them, is that Kaylee was actually home at the time, and she was with somebody, Misty was home at the time, and Haley came out and caught Misty there in the house with somebody. And that's why she's so cocky about passing the test that she was at home. I don't know how you guys all feel about that.
I don't know. Pickles, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Misty was home at the time. She wasn't outside somewhere. And that Haley came out and caught Misty and somebody doing something, like screwing around or something, and either the boyfriend or Misty freaked out and did something so that Ron wouldn't find out.
You know, that could be a possibility. I mean, Misty is being so just stubborn with even giving it. You know, they have been saying that from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. that they just absolutely really don't have a timeline or any account of what happened. And, you know, there's just, it's possible. I mean, they haven't ruled anything out. Everybody's a suspect. And, you know, and until Misty wants to be honest with what happened, then, yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility she, you know.
That makes more sense than Crystal coming in and kidnapping Haley for some kind of custody thing or suspicion of abuse and rescuing Haley out of the home and hiring a lawyer, and now we're coming in with all guns blazing. It's all abuse, and we saved her from that horrible home. I mean, that just is like, that's just silly.
I wish to chime in on this. This is TJ.
Yeah.
Hey, TJ.
There are a lot of theories on this, and believe me, that is one of them.
Yeah.
However, a couple of different theories that are very similar to that, and I'll try to sew these up and marry them if I can, is one that the more popular is that Misty was indeed perhaps in the arms of another man. And I've spoken to the bounty hunter Cobra on this issue, and he is a firm believer, after trying to get a reenactment with Ronald and Misty organized and her balking and not following through with it, Ronald acknowledged that to the bounty hunter Cobra that indeed Misty had been unfaithful to him as early as a week ago with a young man in the community. They're looking at three or four young men at this time, and it's believed that, popularly believed, that she may have been with one of these young men and not in the home, or perhaps in the home but not attending to the children. The other theory is that Miss Sheffield, who is also scheduled to get married sometime very soon, she'll be marrying her very own stepbrother.
In fact,
it gets stranger and stranger. And the other thing is that perhaps maybe someone involved in that pocket of the family wanted to prove their undying love and perhaps maybe didn't think this out to their logical conclusion by stealing the young girl who called Misty mom and not realizing the full impact of what could play out on the national stage. Those are a couple of working theories that a few investigators are working on at this point.
And Ron goes ahead and marries her anyway. Man, I'm glad
and
I don't live down there.
He explains this in my interview that I had with the bounty hunter, Cobra, that Ron married Misty because he wanted to keep his enemies closest, and she is the only tie that he has to his child, and that Ronald told Cobra, and this is Cobra's words, just reporting what this person said. He wanted to interject himself into the mix. He found himself there. He said that as soon as Haley is found and returned, Misty will be gone, because she, again, is the focal point of this investigation.
How much credibility do you give to Cobra?
I think Cobra, in his interview with me, I asked him one question. He gave me a 10-minute answer. I think Cobra thinks a lot of Cobra. I think Cobra also has a very good working resume. It checks out over 8,000 callers. He even broke up an international terrorist ring. He has a sufficient track record. But I think maybe at the time I was speaking with Cobra, he had not had a whole lot of sleep and maybe a whole lot of coffee. So I'm going to let the interview I had with him stand on its own merit.
Is he doing a Leonard Padilla?
There is that. Those two names run parallel in this conversation as of this week after that interview was released. Indeed, that has come up. But as a reporter, I simply report, and I'm not going to interject on that.
Okay. Whoops. I'm busily clicking on my switchboard, and I'm going to bring someone in from the 734 area code. What's your name, and what's your question for us?
Hi. Sorry. Hi, it's Pammy Liz.
Hi, Pammy.
Hi, everybody. I had a question and then just a comment. The question is going back to the Casey case, and I wanted to ask TJ what he thought about this death diary reports coming out. Are we not hearing a whole lot more about it because it hasn't been confirmed? Or I know it's been talked about on Nancy Grace's show, but kind of briefly, is that because it's not really confirmed yet?
Well, ma'am, I must tell you that I've been very much up to my eyes in the Haley case, although the stories run parallel on Nancy Grace. I have been covering strictly the Haley Cummings, and I would defer to the panel on an input to or an answer to that question at this time.
Okay.
I really wasn't sure. I couldn't understand what you'd ask. You want to know about the diary that
yeah, because they just kind of came out with that, and that's kind of like startling information, if that's true, if they do
the
have
missing
these missing
pages you're talking.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if we're not hearing more about it because that's just not been substantiated yet, or is that just rumor?
I don't think it's
come
out exactly yet for sure that it's even that they are even available or that there are any pages left. I haven't heard anything confirming it yet. All
right,
I know is that there's just rumors so far.
And then my comment was on the Haley case. I was going to call in and say I really, you know, this case has me so perplexed. My gut feeling is that none of them are really involved in it. But then after I heard what TJ just reported, listening, I'm kind of like baffled now that they really are like honing in on this Misty. I don't understand what the motive or anything would be, though, but I just don't feel that.
Unless it could be like B said, you know, that she was caught with a guy, and maybe Haley saw her, you know, and I don't know. It's just is a big possibility, I guess, but there could be numerous, you know, reasons why.
The reason law enforcement is so interested in her is not that she orchestrated or perhaps was complicit in the abduction of the young lady, but the fact that she might or might not have been there, and her story has been very inconsistent. There's still nothing that leads to who may have kidnapped this young girl and what they may have done with her. I will tell you that there is a little history of some drugs in play here, and we're not dealing necessarily with, you know, folks who are as pure as the driven snow. I mean, all of us are sinners, but we're also talking about some folks who've had some brushes here and there.
Right.
Serious ones.
I want to bring in Denny Griffin. Denny, you've been very quiet. You're probably out hanging out with ex-mobsters again.
I'm just listening and absorbing.
Give us your input on the Haley Cummings case.
I've given this quite a bit of thought, to trying to think of a motive and how to explain for the rather odd disappearance, the middle of the night with other people there. Nobody's supposedly, except I guess Junior said he saw a guy in black or something. But and I haven't been able to come up with a motive that I'm totally satisfied with. I mean, it was mentioned earlier today, perhaps Haley caught Misty and some other person in the house in the wee hours, and they panicked and did something to her. And I can't rule that out. I just don't. I feel there's a lot of information that is missing yet.
Denny, let me fill in some information for you. 44 known sexual predators within a 5-mile radius of that home. 250 sexual predators in that county. That is a haven for very bad behavior, for the simple fact that many of these homes are so far spread out. And they're not necessarily near churches or schools. Cost of living is low, and these people can often find work as being self-employed. So it's like a retirement village for pervs.
Can I ask a question back? I think I appreciate that. And I was wondering, my thoughts on this have led me to the conclusion that whoever did this, if there was in fact an outside abductor involved, whoever did it probably wasn't some stranger just happened to be driving by the area and said, let me go in that house and see if there's any kids there. I'm thinking that if there is this outsider involved, it's somebody that had at least a basic knowledge of the family makeup, maybe the work schedule of Ron Cummings or that type of thing. Do you agree with me on that, or am I off base?
Very plausible. Very plausible. I'd move that up to highly.
Okay. I appreciate that. It makes me feel that perhaps I'm thinking somewhat logically. And I, the other thing I'm wondering is, is everybody's thoughts now that we're into several weeks since Haley was last seen, known to be seen? What are the odds of her being alive? I mean, I'm trying to think, if somebody's got her, what do they want in return for her, unless she was taken as a sex slave or something
like that? It seems
like
somebody has her, if they were wanting anything, that they would have contacted her by now.
Right.
I mean, that's a long time with no contact for a kidnapped victim. So
please listen back to some of the audio tapes that you hear from time to time on the news services. When you hear Ron say, it's not like she's no property, she's a little girl. And when you think of that, sometimes when situations between people get crazy, thefts occur, and maybe you won't be getting this back till you pay me back. That's another popular theory that's being examined by a lot of folks on the ground.
That's the drug theory, isn't it?
One would say that would be it.
Yeah. Okay, we have another caller coming in. Someone from 319. What's your name and what's your question for us? Hello?
Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Am I on?
Yes.
Okay, my question is for TJ.
Yes.
They took the back door and they took the cinder block that was propped open, the screen door.
Right.
Are they still doing tests on those?
Yes, they are. I'm a bit amazed but relieved at the same time. That door should have been removed day one. Cinder block was. I'm kind of at odds with that because, now my handprint is on that door because I walked through that house. I walked through that house with Marlena Schiavo from CNN. I walked through that house with Teresa Neves, Ronald's mother, and my handprint is on that door.
Oh no!
And I hope to God that maybe me touching it hopefully didn't, you know, kill some evidence.
Right. And I was kind of also wanting to know, didn't three dogs hit on a dumpster that was nearby?
Oh, God, yes. We were live on television when that happened.
Why didn't they further investigate that?
They did.
You know,
we watched them empty out both dumpsters in front of the full view of all cameras, everything from about 9 or 10 local television stations to many of the networks that were there. They were in full view. I mean, we got up on top of trucks, hoisted our tripods up, and we had the camera trained on that for the entire duration, for the entire night.
Okay, and about this van, I don't recall Misty ever saying anything about a missing van or her not driving or parking the van the way she normally would in her first interview. And then this story comes up later.
Mm-hmm. She didn't say that in her first. There are a lot of things she didn't say in her first interview, ma'am, and that's why it's so very confusing. When you talk to her, you think you got something, and then 10 minutes later, it's like, what the, you know?
So they did do testing and everything on the van then? Was there any proof or evidence that Haley could have been in that van on the day or hours before she came up missing?
That was one of the longest held pieces of evidence before it got released, was indeed that van, ma'am. They went through that with a forensic comb. There's really nothing left on there other than they don't know how a big scratch along the side of the van took place, but they're not finding any evidence that's usable. Had they found any evidence that was usable, that van would still be impounded and not in someone's driveway.
All right.
This sounds remarkably like the Kaylee story with the car. With the Kaylee story, of course, we have super sleuth Dr. Henry Lee involved, who has suddenly claimed to have found something like 15 or 17 more hairs and some new stains in the trunk. I mean, I find it inconceivable that the forensics folks would have missed anything. So,
yeah. I'm a little dubious with that, too.
Like I said last week, I mean, he could have just leaned over and his own hair could have fell
out. One thing we must all be aware of is that there are many people around this case who are trying to find a way to interject themselves into a national storyline, whether
right.
it is to sell a book or whether it is to further their services or whatever, and they're not necessarily focused on the story they're doing about what's in it for them. And you have to be very, very, when we're covering this, we really have to be cautious about it. In my interview with the Cobra that I let out on our website, it's one of those things where I let the guy have his opportunity, and it's going to stay as it is because it stands for itself. Now he is being represented by ArtHarris.com for the duration of this investigation.
Where can people actually hear this interview?
Oh, here I am now playing into it. My gratuitous plug. It is at thesky973.com, and you'll see a picture of Haley rotate with our top stories on our radio station's website. Click on that picture. It'll take you to the page where I have my reporter's notes updates every day.
Dick Shelland,
yes.
Spokesman, ex-law enforcement, veteran lawman, came out of retirement to assist Putnam authorities in the media matters. And I read a curious comment from him, or supposedly from him, and that is he's going back into retirement. I think the quote I have is, "I'm here all day at the sheriff's office, and I'm only taking 6 calls and doing 1 on-camera interview, and that's it."
And one of those 6 calls, and maybe 2 of those 6 calls, is me every day.
But I mean, this case has huge coverage.
It does.
Where's the issue?
That one I really cannot explain because my working relationship with Captain has been very, very good. I think if I know Captain as well as I do, I think that he's very optimistic that this case will be solved soon, but yet I get a sense of a frustration every time a lead is followed and it turns up empty. And I, to be quite honest with you, I'm just going to say personally, I think the man's a little brokenhearted.
Wow.
He could be.
He's just had enough of the entire deal?
Well, I'm not saying that, quitting to be quitting. I just think as an older gentleman, the older we get, sometimes we reflect on a lot of different things. And I just think the man's heart is broken.
Maybe the disappointment and when he does follow a lead is just too great on him right now. But when it turns up nothing.
Our feelings are more in tune with things the older we get.
Right.
Okay. I just want to break in quickly and tell all of our listeners that our phone lines are open and the number to dial is 646-378-1120. And this is one of the rare occasions where you will actually get to talk to someone at Ground Zero, because TJ Hart is the man at Ground Zero. And there's not much that he doesn't know about what's happening in this case. TJ, let's go back to Cobra for a moment. I believe his real name is William Stubbs or something like that.
Yes, William Stubbs, S-T-A-U-B-S.
All right. He's being bankrolled by some anonymous donor. Any clues on who that might be?
Only geographically, that it is someone from Miami, which is where that's the area he's from. He's from Broward County. So someone from the Miami area is partially bankrolling him. I will tell you that he has worked in the past with Crystal Sheffield's attorney, Kim Picazio. Now, Ms. Picazio went to great lengths. She and her assistants have gone to great lengths to let me know that there's no gray area here. They're not working together on this case. They have nothing in common on this case to speak of, and there's no money changing hands. They are working completely and separate from each other.
He came out with an interesting comment. I'm not sure it was in your interview with him or not, but the quote I have is, "Investigators have 5 weeks been working on this. I've had 1 week, and I've caught up. Now I have to connect all the dots."
Well, those are his words.
I mean, is he onto something?
He may be. He works in mysterious ways, and I think that's why he's called the Cobra. I don't have any validation. I don't have any verification of what he has or hasn't checked. Only that if Cobra says he's done it, then Cobra says he's done it.
Okay.
And he's got a good track record. I'm not saying that everything that he says going into it is 100%. It might be a little, enhanced in the presentation, but at the end of the day, he gets his job done. At the end of the day, he gets his job done.
So let's go... Sorry, carry on.
Oh, I was just going to ask another question to TJ that I'm wondering, or is it just me, that thinks that so much focus has been on the families, like Ronald and his new wife, and then the biological mother, that so much attention has been on them and their personal lives, or are they really involved, that everybody's getting away from looking for the maybe the real perpetrator, because I just don't want it to be true that they're involved, like with the Casey Anthony case, because I just think it reminds me a lot of the JonBenet case, this case,
oh,
with
Haley.
Because
went
we
in
know.
For years.
Yeah, and that's what this one sounds like to me. I just think the rest of it's all distraction stuff of the, now the photos of the abuse and this custody thing going on, and then, I don't know. That's just my feeling gets stronger and stronger. But then, you know, as each day goes by, it's been so long. So where is this little girl? You know, and...
One of the conversations that, in fact, I just had it 2 days ago with Captain Schallen was, you know, how much the soap opera around this mission has evolved and taken place. And he said that it's kind of sad because the focus, as far as he is concerned and as far as law enforcement is concerned, is the health, safety, and well-being of the little girl. If crimes have been committed along the way, they will be dealt with in a set agenda of priority. Right now, find the girl. That was his words to me, and I said,
and
attention, I'm there. You know.
Just so you think that the law enforcement behind that we're not seeing is looking at every possibility.
Law enforcement is tracking down the girl. Law enforcement is not watching Nancy Grace other than for entertainment value. And that's no slap on Nancy, because Nancy knows what the investigators are doing. Nancy's a great lady, and I owe her a great deal of gratitude.
Ooh. Yeah, I just really hope that they find, you know, or whatever, and, like, they keep showing the Haley family and then doing the interviews with, like, you know, and now the whole custody thing we're watching. It's like, I mean, sometimes I feel like I don't care. I just want to know where the little girl is. I want to know... You know, I don't care about how they're living or how much money they got or how they live, and I don't know. It's
those are called manufactured. Sometimes those are called manufactured stories that you'll get throughout all strands of the press, because they want to keep the story going. But what are we going to do? What's new in the story? What's new?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, and who knows? Maybe some of these things that they are following are germane to the whereabouts of the young lady. No one really knows at this point, and it's very heartbreaking. It's very heartbreaking. And there are no winners in this case, ma'am. Absolutely not.
Oh, I think you've hit the nail on the head. There are no winners. Pickles, you've been amazingly quiet. Come on, talk to
Yeah. Pickles?
Uh-oh.
Did we lose her?
Maybe we lost her. Okay, one of the things that was bounced around my desk earlier today was this supposed comment by Junior about the guy in black, or was it a black guy? Now, this goes back to the idea of Misty having an affair. Any input on that one, TJ?
On that one, we're going to have to take that for what the child said. Some of that was done on the Geraldo show on Fox. And we honestly, Ronald and Misty never heard Junior say that the night that his sister went missing.
He told his mother that.
He told his mother that, but he never told his dad
or
Misty
that.
So we don't know just how much merit to put into that or any merit. That's one of those things that police have been working with, and we're going to have to trust it in their hands at this point. That would be too dangerous, I think, for a guy like me to be speculating on at all.
Yeah,
oh, I was not trying to put you on the spot.
Oh, certainly not. No, you're just asking a very honest question.
I know Ronald's and Misty said on the Geraldo show that they think that it could, or he said that it could possibly be something Crystal and Geraldo. No, he said it on something. Somewhere he said that it could have been something where Crystal and Geraldo made up. I think it was the Today show that he said it.
Geraldo seems to have lost a great deal of credibility over the past few years. He's gone from being the great news reporter to having almost everything put under the microscope. I mean, maybe his biggest gaffe was the one he made in Iraq, you know, actually telling where the troops were.
You mean when he thought the bullets were whistling past him?
Right.
Well, he got a lot closer to having his ass shot off in Satsuma than he did there. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they really put him in his place, didn't they?
Well, I will tell you, as the guy who came into the trailer park in the limousine the following day, we had, you know, people were looking like they were fixing to throw stuff at us, and I had to roll down the window, no, no, it's me! And it, you know, it was something else.
I like Geraldo, though. I've always respected him over the years, but he does some things that are, you know, I don't know.
I used to like him, but I've lost my respect for him.
Since he's been in Satsuma, he has been hit with a trespass warning, and if he shows up in that trailer park again, he will be arrested.
Wow.
That was an interesting thing that happened. I mean, he obviously outlived his welcome with Ronald Cummings.
In 30 minutes.
Didn't they kick him off and tell him that he can't come back? If he did, he was going to go to jail?
Correct.
Off the property?
Correct.
Simon?
Let's talk about Crystal Sheffield. These child abuse allegations, none of it has stuck over the years. Why is she bringing it out again now?
That's a good question.
I'm not buying it. I don't buy it. I believe it's something. I can't get my finger on it, but I don't buy that if it was, say, 4 years back, and this was really happening, she had photos, you would be making sure something was done about it. I don't buy it. I can understand them wanting to make sure the little boy's okay right now. That part of it.
Yeah, I can understand that too, but I looked at those pictures too. Now, I raised two boys, and they were rough. And they come in with cuts and bruises from playing outside or whatever. And, I mean, some of their bruises looked a lot worse than these pictures had on theirs. And, I mean, I don't want to rule it out, because then I would hate to say that she's wrong and the child, had been abused, or the children have. But at the same time, those pictures weren't as graphic as I expected them to be. When I heard the story about them, I figured, oh, my goodness, they got proof. They got pictures. They're saying it's going to show it all. And like I said, I've got pictures of my children that look worse than they do. Not the nose from the playground,
right?
But from just the little bruises on their legs and stuff. I mean, that's natural. I mean, I get them myself.
I just think it gets
something
brutal when they start with the custody fight. It can just get brutal,
Right.
Each one of them wanting the custody, and they'll say and do anything and exaggerate stuff and. I just think that's what that's all about, and the reason she's starting it now.
Well, they're going to stand against each other to try to win the case,
Well, he remarried, and I'm sure that ticked her off. I'm sure that would tick her off. I mean, he married the girl now, and she's got to be, who knows, maybe she didn't want that to happen, So I just don't buy it yet, but, I don't know,
It's different ways to take that one, but like I said, I don't feel like, I think that there's a lot, if these children were abused, there's a lot more to it than just these little cuts and bruises on them.
Yeah, I think the father's kind of taken a beating on the whole case, actually.
Right.
He seems on the level. He's passed his polygraph. I don't know what more he can contribute if he wasn't home. And as far as finding out anything after the fact, say he had found out from the girlfriend something that really had happened, I'm not getting the feeling that he would do a cover-up. I just don't buy that.
I think
with the Casey case, we're thinking everybody would have bad motives. Like, we're all just thinking, like, okay, well, now there's a child involved. Suddenly everybody is this evil person. And I'm not quite buying that with the father.
TJ, what's your theory about this entire child abuse deal? I mean, you're the man on the ground. You hear the rumors that don't make it quite as far as Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm sad to say they make it out. just the nastiness that is coming out of this tragedy. You'd think that people would pull together in a tragedy, but there are a lot of raw nerves, a lot of things with no closure, broken relationships. Lives that are just right now in just a mess, If you're Crystal Sheffield, you didn't get a driver's license till you were 20. You had no way of really taking care of your kids after having children since you were a teenager yourself. You have no job skills whatsoever. That's how she lost custody to begin with. No transportation, no job skills. She had really no way to take care of those children. Young Haley missed 12 doctor's appointments while in her care. That was one of the deciding factors in every adjudicated case when it came to who will get custody. Ron was deemed to be the better provider, and he could get her to her medical appointments. The young girl suffers from Turner syndrome. Now, also in this case, you got the woman who did have a job, and she's not making a whole lot of money. She's still $4,000 behind in back child support to Ronald. Now the little girl is missing. She feels her world slipping away even farther. And on top of that, icing on the cake, father of my children is getting married to a teenage girl who the kids call her mom. So you take a lot of raw nerves and raw feelings, emotion going on there. And I think you can almost put yourself in the place where Crystal Sheffield is. She's virtually, emotionally, she is just empty. I spoke with her two nights ago. Her face just almost vacant. It's like she died. It's like she died.
Wow. That's you summed it up exactly what I was trying to say very well. That's my feeling, too, is that everything just brought out the worst in all of the people. Broken relationships and just everybody is wounded, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Simon?
So, TJ, you mentioned earlier on that the lawyer representing Crystal has a very good reputation.
Yes, highly. Yes.
He
graduated cum laude from Florida State University, and that's a tough law school. And to graduate first year class with all these honors and to have all these other professional honors and merits bestowed upon her, especially in a very big market for, legal activity, the Miami market, it says a lot.
And we talked earlier about how everyone except the person that likely most needs representation doesn't. And yet, all of these lawyers are doing it for free,
mm-hmm.
pro bono. Where's the angle? I've never known anyone that works for free.
Let's see, you're getting your name out in front of a national television audience 5 hours a night during prime time.
That's enough pay right there, I guess.
That's just a guess.
They spend more than that on advertising.
Yes, and all they're taking basically is their time, and if this case works out in anyone's favor, and hopefully the favor is that the girl returns safely and alive, the rest is, just having some kind of an affiliation with a nationally publicized case.
Okay, I'm going to ask the same question that I asked last week, and I'm going to go round the panel. Is Haley alive or dead? Jan?
It's been an awful long time that she's been gone. I'm hoping in my mind, in my heart, I keep saying that this is somebody's got this child holding on to her and keeping her alive. Part of me keeps saying that, but then again, part of me saying that, no, that she's not. So it's, I don't know. It's one of those cases that it's hard to tell right now. I felt different with Kaylee. I thought right away that Kaylee was gone. This one, I don't know yet.
Okay. Denny.
Yes.
Is she alive or dead?
If I had to make a definite choice, I would say I don't enjoy saying this, but I have serious doubts that she's still alive. The time frame, the time that's gone by, has me very skeptical. And Simon, could before you go to Pickles and TJ, could I ask you to ask TJ a question for me when you finish your round of opinions here?
You can ask him yourself. Just go ahead.
Okay, TJ, I'm not familiar with the, you know, with the law enforcement agencies here. Could you tell me if you know what the general reputation of the Putnam County Sheriff is? Are they pretty well known to be competent and capable or not?
Yes, in fact, everybody who's been here, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FBI, they came into town, I think, under the assumption like, oh boy, here we go with Opie and Barney, and that has not been the case. I would put these detectives up with anybody in any city in America, and that includes Chicago, Los Angeles, or New York. They're that good. Now, the sheriff, Jeff Hardy, this happened on his one-month anniversary of being sworn in.
So those of us who are, which I assume are all of us, who are concerned about Haley's safety or the case being solved, we can have some confidence in the law enforcement handling of it then, and that's good news as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. It's excellent news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Simon, go ahead to Pickles if you want.
Okay, Pickles, dead or alive?
I think we lost Pickles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm still here. I'm Penny Liz. But
all right. Penny.
Simon, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, I didn't know if I was still on or not. I had one question for TJ. Had investigators ever considered dragging the river that's near Haley's home?
They've done several underwater searches in the St. John's River. It's a very big river. In fact, at this point, it's as wide as the Mississippi. That's how big of a river it is. They've been in the water the first 10 days. They were out there on nonstop. But as far as dragging, I don't know how much dragging they've done. As you know, they have their SUSART, their underwater search and rescue.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of had that in the back of my head all through this because, like you said before, the timeline, it's been over a month.
Yes. And there are a lot of marshy areas out there that make it very difficult. They went out with horses, which is probably a good idea considering the alligator population. You don't want to get surprised. So.
Right. Okay, Simon, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no problem. TJ, all right, I'm going to ask you the same horrible question.
Tammy didn't get her answer
yet. I believe at the beginning of this abduction, she was alive, and she's been alive for quite some time. But again, my heart wants to believe she's still with us. But my brain tells me that as time went on, and maybe things not being played out to somebody's version of a logical conclusion, I feel horrible to say that the young girl is no longer with us.
Pammy, your thoughts?
I have the exact same feeling. I don't believe she is alive. I believe, though differently from a lot of people, that it's a perpetrator that they haven't caught. I believe that that's more than likely the scenario than a motive for taking this child for what, drugs or over a custody thing. I don't see. That would be too odd when we know it's been proven that these abductors get in and they take children. Just like with leaving no clues and no trace, they do it. So I want to believe that it's something like in the family and they have her and they're just holding her, you know, but my gut's telling me that's not, it's going to come out that it's some, I don't know, sex offender or just somebody like the JonBenet case. And, that's what my feeling is with this particular case.
TJ, you're long in the tooth as a reporter. I think it's fair to say that in most child abductions, it is family oriented. Do you think this one is?
To the degree that these families are spread out in so many different directions, I think it is quite probable.
What happens next in this case?
You gotta find the girl. And then the rest will... I'm sorry, I'm an old grandfather, guys. I've been working this story. I'm an old grandfather, and I'm getting a little sentimental in my time. You got to find the girl first, and then everything else. Put the hammer down on whoever needs to be hammered.
And do you think
there's a
reason?
Apologize for the emotion.
Do you think there's a reason that they haven't, like, ruled anybody out? Because they keep saying nobody's been ruled out as a suspect.
Because if everybody's under suspicion, somebody's going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to make a mistake and cave to the pressure.
Huh.
And when that happens, it's going to make their job a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, once the pressure gets ramped up, something will break.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so, because it's so hard to watch these stories, and it's not just Haley. It wasn't just Haley. There's so many other ones, you know, that we see, and it just happens way too much, you know. And then I think about, like, is this a copycat thing where, you know, this family realized they'd get money for help? And I hate to think like that, you know, so cynically, but...
Unfortunately, that's where we are today.
Yeah.
Okay, a philosophical question that I'll throw out on the table. Is it just that reporting is better these days? You know, we have the internet. Everyone knows everything, or at least everyone has access to everything. Or are more children going missing?
Sure seems. I think it's just that the ones that have been missing just don't get the publicity. I think it goes on everywhere you look. There's children being grabbed and go missing. Some that don't even get reported. You just don't ever know.
I think it's a horrifying level myself. I think it's a horror for even one child to go missing. So the ones even in the city I live in Michigan, the state just recently had one, and I think it's alarming.
Really, it is.
All right. I'm going to rephrase this question. Oh.
Let me just make one thing.
Sure.
Pickle's phone died on her. That's what happened to her. She didn't just disappear.
I thought so.
It wasn't her fault that she disappeared. Okay, go ahead, Simon.
Oh, good Lord, I've forgotten what I was going to talk about now.
I know, because she's usually got a lot to say and a lot of...
Her phone died, so that's where she...
I don't think she's so much into blogging on the blog that she believes so far. She's not sure what to think. I'm Haley, you know. She's still quite sure what's going on.
She's trying to piece it together, though. Okay, Simon, what was you going to ask? You said you were going to rephrase the question.
Oh, I forgot. Completely forgotten now.
Sorry.
Well, the wind-up sounded so good.
That's what I'm great at. Okay, we're down to our last minute on this broadcast. So I want to thank everyone, and I want to give everyone their 10 seconds of fame. Jan, you're up.
That's 10 seconds of fame. I don't know what you want me to say. Thank you, everybody, for showing up for today. And, TJ, it was really nice talking to you.
Thank you very much. And you've got a great new medium here, and be very proud of it and embrace it.
Thank you. TJ, you
are welcome here anytime. Delightful to have you on the show. I'll say goodbye for Pickles because she's not here. Dead phone. And Denny.
Where's Denny? Danny at? Is he?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Thanks for showing up, Danny.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. TJ, very nice chatting with you. Thank you.
You as well.
And Pammy.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to TJ for taking time to be with us to discuss this case, and Denny, and for keeping this case, you know, the story out there. We'll still be here until it's solved.
I think this, or in fact these, are important cases. And if we at Blogger News can keep them in the forefront, we certainly will.
Until these children are found.
Yes. So I want to thank all of our callers and our great panel. We will have a link to the entire interview up and running on www.bloggernews.net until next week, and I'm sure we'll be doing this next week. It's goodbye from me and goodbye from Jan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye so much. Thank you, Simon, Jan, and TJ.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Jenny.